In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To start off this morning, it's a Transfiguration Sunday. I just want to read to you the bulletin insert there about the Alleluia. It's kind of interesting as we move from this season into the next. The Hebrew word Hallelujah, which again is broken down, Allelu, which is praise, and then Yah for Yahweh, praise the Lord. It's carried into the Latin tongue without translation as Alleluia, and into our English tongue as well in the same. Its use in the medieval Roman church was restricted to Eastertide, the time of Easter, as an expression of the church's highest joy. It was sung with long musical phrases on a single syllable as an expression of joy too deep for words, the joy of the resurrection of Christ. Our use of the triple Hallelujah before the gospel is a related use, since we know that in our hearing of the words of Christ in the gospel is nothing less than hearing of the resurrected one speaking among us. Such knowledge gives abiding joy, and thus it is fitting to rise in anticipation of the gospel and to sing hallelujahs. In the Western Church, we omit the hallelujahs from Septuagesima, which is next Sunday, until Easter as an oral fast. There is even an ancient hymn which bids farewell to the Alleluia, which we'll sing today, our last hymn. And bidding farewell to the Alleluias served to make the anticipation for Easter and the joy of Easter all the greater. The joy of Christ's resurrection can scarcely be better expressed than by simple Alleluias. During this time from the end of today till Easter, we try to take all the Alleluias out of our services. There might be some that sneak in there, though, because I don't always catch them. And you can always say them. It's not like you can't say it. It's a forbidden word, right? But it's just something that we do to subdue our joy for a little bit of time in anticipation for that great day of the resurrection. So that's where it comes from. With that, the congregation stands, and we'll begin with our confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor, miserable sinner. Confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your lightnings lighted up the world, the earth trembled and shook. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook.
Upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of God, takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, God most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading for the transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Speak our verse for the week. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Luke 1:46-47. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. Here Peter is reminded of this time of the transfiguration, and he writes about it. He says, "For we do not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God."
We stand to sing our last Alleluia before the gospel reading.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elisha talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elisha." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the word, this is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world.
may be seated for our sermon hymn. God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today's sermon was slightly influenced by Reverend Professor Adam Kuntz at the seminary and Christopher Brown. Since the beginning of history, people have used technology to overcome various challenges. Eyeglasses, cars, hearing aids, artificial knees, smartphones. The history of humanity is littered with technologies designed to address the many limitations we face in our everyday lives. The last few decades have given us many new amazing technologies, ranging from personal computers to improved prosthetics for the disabled. Because of these remarkable advancements, many people today wonder if one day we won't just overcome, but transcend our physical bodily limitations. Transhumanists, they're called. Transhumanists believe that developments in science and technology will soon make possible the radical transcendence of human biology, cognitive and emotional limitations, and the evolution of a post-human race, even the attainment of immortality. Maybe you can be a cyborg or a robot or upload your consciousness into the cloud, right? Now, at their core, transhumanists reject the body as a key part of being human. Their ideology fits quite nicely into our modern culture. It's not a new thing. It's really an ancient heresy called Gnosticism, but I won't get into that right now. Fits well into our time and our place. After all, transhumanism isn't far off from transgenderism. which says that if your biological sex that you're born with and your perceived gender don't match up, then you can change your biological body to match your personal feelings. It's merely a case of mind over matter. In the transgender movement, hormone treatments and surgeries can help you escape the body that you're born with. Transgenderism and transhumanism, they're fundamentally the same. Mind over matter. But that's not all. There are some kids today who personally feel that they're a dog or a cat inside a human body. Just last week, I heard that kitty litter boxes were popping up in school bathrooms in places as close as the Spencer area. These transhumanist trans-species students, called in some cases furries or another other kin, are allowed to wear cat ears and tails and dog collars, and they're allowed to hiss or meow or even bark at other students and teachers. But the school said it didn't want to discourage or thwart its students' creativity or individualism, but rather they want to promote a safe and healthy culture for all kids to feel comfortable. Transspecies, transgender, transhumanist, it's all fundamentally the same ideology. It's all an attempt to shed the limitations of your human body and transform into something else entirely. And the best way nowadays to manifest this transfiguration is to escape the physical world for a virtual one. In metaverse worlds like the one that Facebook's working on, you can work from home all day, right? You can sit in your pajamas and in your comfy chair, strap on your virtual reality headset, zip up your sensory bodysuit, and enter a digital world of endless possibilities. Once uploaded into the metaverse, you can choose a virtual body for yourselves and become anyone of any age or any race or species for that matter. The possibilities are limitless. Now, we might get tempted to get into an ideological shouting match with folks over these issues, but that's not our way. So before we get too hasty to pull the log out of our brother's eye, let us first take the speck out of our own eye. For behold, the seeds of today's transhumanist movement have already been planted, cultivated, and nurtured by all generations. What we're seeing now is just a few of its fruits. For decades, we've tried to shed the limitations of our biological bodies. We've torn down the beautifully created distinctions between the sexes. We've spurned the varied and singular gifts which God bestows upon men and women. We've taken fathers and mothers and tried to make their vocations and roles within the household indistinguishable. No longer father and mother, but parent one and parent two. But the breakdown doesn't stop there. We've also blurred the distinctions between our sons and daughters. We've pushed for non-gender specific toys and activities and sports. And then when it comes to the family unit as a whole, we've labored endlessly to limit our numbers. No longer are children blessings from the Lord, given according to His will, by His design, by His decision, and in His time. No, now children are conceived according to our will and our design, by our decision and according to our time, right? Nowadays, you're supposed to have 2.3 children. No more, no less, 2.3. Too few, and there must be something wrong with you. Too many, and you're obviously becoming one of those radical Christians who's lost your mind. For decades, we've been manipulating our biological bodies to keep our family numbers in check. We've adopted pharmaceutical sterilization and contraception until we're ready for kids. And when we decide we've had enough children and don't want a whoopsies baby, as if there ever was a whoopsies baby, We're encouraged to get a surgery and snip this or tie that off and permanently terminate our fertility. On the other hand, in an attempt to create fertility where it's not been granted by our God, we have manufactured in vitro fertilization, which we know kills way more babies than it gives. And then there's also surrogacy, very common for people in the higher ranks of society. Surrogacy, where a couple finds a hired woman to conceive and birth the child in the mother's stead. A little bit of Hagar there, I think. You see, my friends, we are all equally guilty of trying to manipulate and escape the limitations of our biological bodies in thought, in word, and in deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We are guilty and truly no different than the transhumanists, transgender, and trans species people of today. We all together fall short of the glory of God. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. No, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans chapter 3. Ouch. We need a Savior. We need the one whom God appointed to save our whole person, not only our souls, but our minds and our bodies as well. What we need, the Lord provides. This is my beloved Son, he said, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis chapter 1. According to this, we confess, I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He has given me my body and soul, on all my members, right? Eyes, ears, all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. First article of the Creed, explanation. And so rise and have no fear. Our bodies have been given great dignity by our Lord. In the fullness of time, Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Our God became flesh and dwelt among us. He became our brother, like us in every way, except without sin. Furthermore, in his transfiguration on the mountain, Christ Jesus doesn't shed the human body, but rather he glorifies it, glorifies our bodies forever. In this same body, Jesus willingly journeyed from this mountain to Mount Calvary, where it was in his human body that the Son of God endured suffering, was crucified, died, and was buried. His body was wrapped in linen cloths in the hope of the resurrection. And then by the glory of God, Christ Jesus was raised bodily from the dead. All this for us and for our salvation. It was Christ who in his human body ascended to our Father in heaven to sit at his right hand in glory, where he now intercedes on our behalf. For thousands of years, God's faithful people have longed and hoped for his return and the bodily resurrection promised to us. You see, for the transhumanists, the human body is just another obstacle that we must overcome. But for those who know and believe in the truth, you have a great message to share. The human body, despite its faults and limitations, is vital to both our personhood, our salvation, our forgiveness, and our life together. Transhumanists are tempted to replace physical relationships for virtual ones. But we Christians adamantly reject this. We have something greater to share with them. Virtual church doesn't work for us. It's not good for man to be alone. We need each other. Genesis 2. We need the church, the body of Christ. We need the consolation of real people gathered around Christ's real word and physical sacrament, where our Lord comes to us physically, not in word, but in deed and in truth, body and blood. In Christ, that word made flesh, we Christians trust that one day he will come again and transfigure our lowly bodies to be like his own glorious body. Philippians 3:21. Just as our Lord Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again in glory, we trust that we too will be raised in body and soul. We don't believe that our highest good is to be some spirit floating around in the clouds. No, our future is a visceral one, a bodily eternity, where men and women live together in a glorified earth with glorified bodies. Revelation 21. Yes, we look forward to a glorious heavenly city, a new heavens and a new earth, where we shall live and dwell and rejoice eternally in the presence of our God, our brother, to whom we now do pray. And in answering our prayers this day, he will in this very hour give us our highest good, his own flesh and blood, which alone accomplishes so great a task as granting us life eternal. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. Amen. Now for the announcements. There are many printed there. I have a couple of verbal ones that I'll start with. St. Paul Shaler is having a surprise birthday party for Pastor Lyons next Sunday, February 13th, at the church, starting around 11:15 to 11:30. Dartball will leave tomorrow at 6:15. And then also next Sunday, St. Paul's Aurelia, their LYF, is making up sub sandwiches for Super Bowl Sunday. So call the church office to reserve yours. And on top of that, a couple, I'm going to commend most of these to your reading, but I'll highlight just a few at the beginning here. Today, if you haven't smelled it already, it smells awesome. Spuds and Splits downstairs after church, and the free will offering will go to our LYF. Later this afternoon, you're all invited to our Storm Lake Circuit Bible Institute, where we gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and the other churches in this area, and look at the scriptures together and learn together. It's a great time. A very joyous announcement. Maybe you've noticed the banner up here. We give thanks to God that he has brought Paul and Mindy Anderson together in holy matrimony. God's blessings to you both. Yes. Yeah, we should clap for them. Yes, Lois. Thank you. God be praised. What a wonderful time to be together. The rest of the announcements I commend to your reading. Down in Galva today, another thing going on. From 5 to 6, you can pick up Valentine's dinner, or you can go down there at 6 p.m. They do ask that you please call ahead of time. There's numbers listed for you there. All right. With that, I commend the rest to your reading, and we will continue with the prayers of the church. The congregation stands and sings the offertory. Presence and take not thy hope. peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church of God, that she would be illuminated with resurrection light and so tell the world of Christ's deliverance, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are called and ordained to serve in Christ's stead and by his command, that all their preaching and teaching would flow from the right understanding that all scriptures testify of Christ and his work for our eternal salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the married couples of our congregation, especially for Paul and Mindy, who have entered this blessed estate last Tuesday, that God would make their marriages a bright reflection of the marriage between his son and the church, his body, his bride. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those with child, especially Hannah, and for all parents in every Christian home, that they would pass on the faith to their children by word and deed and in truth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have been placed in authority over us, that they would serve with integrity and honor, having the welfare of all in mind. And for our country, that division, conflict, and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness in the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the troubled and the sick and the dying, especially for Jean, Carrie, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, and Frank, for Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl, that by the prayers of Christ himself, they would be brought through their trials. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the holy altar this day to receive Christ's true body and blood, that receiving the forgiveness of sins, they would be strengthened in faith toward you, O Lord, and in fervent love toward one another. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and bodily death for our forgiveness. By your grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution. Preserve us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he.
name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The Lamb of God that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God that takest away the sin of the world.
eat the body of Christ given for you. They eat the body of Christ given for you. They eat the body of Christ given for you. Welcome to our Lord's table. Take eat the body of Christ given for you. Take eat the body of Christ given for you. Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Savior is
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, now lovest thou thy servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light in the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have refreshed us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sicknesses, and trials with patience and trust until you grant us deliverance, peace, and true health. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
We'll pray for our meal downstairs. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord. You give them their food at the proper time. You open up your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us in these your gifts, which we receive from your bountiful goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn. Farewell to the Alleluias.
Hallelujah, cannot always our song while here below. Alleluia, our transgressions make us for a while forego. For the solemn time is coming when our tears for sin must flow. Blessed Trinity, at the last to keep thy Easter with thy faithful saints alive.